following is the first marine aircraft wing taped historical interview. The interview is First Lieutenant Bruce E. Beckman, 095492 USMC. Pilot and schedules officer attached to VMO ADW 242, 911, Da Nang Air Base, Republic of Vietnam. The interviewer is Corporal Norman R. Carson, 218-5474, USMC. This interview takes place at Da Nang Air Base, Republic of Vietnam, on 8 March 1968. The subject of this interview is a rolling thunder mission occurring on 23 February 1968. This interview is classified secret until downgraded by higher authority.
Swoop 800 was a planned rolling thunder radar strike against the Hanoi radio broadcasting station located approximately 3.5 miles southwest of the center of Hanoi. Code name was Machete, and we had two aircraft, a backup Machete 2. The backup aircraft is intended to follow the lead as far as 1,800 degrees north, whereupon the aircraft with the best Diane system would continue on with the mission, and the remaining aircraft would revert to a Tallahoe repackage, armed recce repackage 1. Our support aircraft, Pigment 70-1 and 2, or two EA-6As for active and passive ECM support, and they're also intended to drop chaff outside the target area to confuse the enemy. We also had a bar cap consisting of three F-4Bs from VMF-122. The mission went as planned up to takeoff time. We were 6 minutes late getting airborne due to an IFR hold. We were recovering and landing traffic on the same runway, and it was IFR the night of the launch, and they held us up 6 minutes. We did get airborne in good shape. Machete 2 followed about a minute behind us. We climbed out an IFR tactical departure, contacting Vice Squad for flight following north to hand off to Red Crown. We leveled at flight level 260 to cruise en route to our checkpoints, updating on Tiger Island, and passing 1800 north, we had radio transmission with Machete 2 and decided that we had the best system of the two, and we would continue. They reverted back to the Tallahoe area and became a swoop mission number for armed recce repackage 1. En route to our coast endpoint, we had minor radio problems with Pigment 70-2, who was Ginkgo 2, and we did lose comm with them, and we were unknown as to whether or not they had continued. We crossed our coast endpoint at flight level 260 and commenced our descent. At this point, we called our code word Point Alpha to the Ginkgo aircraft, both the bar cap and the ECM birds, and received an acknowledgement from Ginkgo 1. At our coast endpoint, we commenced a letdown to 7,000 feet. This was planned to start giving us a little bit of radar masking from the mountainous terrain that we were flying over at this time. The terrain averaged 3,000 to 5,000 feet in the mountainous terrain, and we were flying at 7,000 feet, utilizing E-scan just as a backup mode for our planned safe flight altitude. We were still 6 minutes behind, and we had called Ginkgo to adjust our TOT for a six minute slide in our TOT, and then we received an acknowledgement. We proceeded on to our next checkpoint, which was Ho Binh, a town located on the river approximately 35 miles southwest of Hanoi. In about 20 miles out of Ho Binh, we commenced a letdown to 4,500 feet, which is our planned minimum safe altitude for train avoidance, and also would give us further radar masking. As we reached Ho Binh, we commenced our turn to the RP, and at this time the computer malfunctioned momentarily and gave us some bad steering. So my BN manually called my heading and returned to the heading, and started our further planned letdown to 500 feet for the run into the RP. As we were passing 4,000 feet, we had a rapid series of S-band swoops, and we had gone to repeat previous to this, and noted shortly thereafter an APR 27 warning, and we dumped chaff, did some minor changing in course and altitude, and it went out, it came back on, and went out once more, then it came back on. The APR 27 warble stepped up, indicating the L-band radar guidance was definitely on the line. But I was pretty sure by this time that a SAM missile had been launched, and knowing that it would probably be coming from my port forward quadrant, concentrated most of my attention out in that direction. At this time, we were at 4,000 feet, and IFR, we had entered the clouds at 6,000 feet, and the bases were forecast to be between 2,500 and 3,000 feet. As I looked out to about the 10 o'clock position, I saw a faint orange glow and immediately broke hard left into the light. The SAM missile passed by our starboard side in front and starboard of us, an estimated range of about 100 feet. You could hear the motor of the missile above the engine motors, and it didn't detonate as it went by. I estimate now that it detonated approximately 10 seconds after it went past, because I can recall seeing a flash in the clouds well behind us. I recovered from a slightly unusual attitude and determined I better get the nose down so I could get down below the clouds. As I broke up beneath the clouds at around 3,000 feet, I immediately saw three more SAMs on the way, two of them from about my 1 o'clock position and one from about 10 o'clock again. From here on into the target, approaching the target area, a total of about 10 or 11 SAMs were fired. I continually sought out to see which one was the closest, which one presented the most threat, and tried to take a laser action against them. Most of my laser action consisted of high G turns, jinking up in altitude, drawing the SAM up with me, then breaking down, usually hard to the left. And between this point and the target, three of the SAMs detonated fairly close to the aircraft on the other side, and there was a quite audible whimp as a SAM would detonate and it would shake the aircraft. I believe it was during these three close ones that I would absorb the 10 hits the aircraft absorbed. As we determined, the reaction was obviously very heavy. We decided to go straight for the target rather than head for our IP. So I instructed the BN to cycle the inertial system to the target and step us into attack. And he had already done so, and we were stepped well into attack. We were headed basically weaving back and forth in a northeasterly direction towards the target. I rolled out, there was about a 10 second lull when no SAMs were airborne. And I looked at my steering, and it was approximately centered up heading 050, and my range and readout read 4 miles. At this time, three more SAMs were coming off the pad, one off to my about 9 o'clock position, and two out at about 2 o'clock. I determined that this is about as close as we're going to get to the target and still get out of there alive, so I nearly began about a 2G pull-up and hot pickled, using the hot pickle override feature of the automatic release. The bombs left the aircraft at an estimated 1,500 feet, heading 050 at about 450 knots. Immediately broke hard right into the first two SAMs that were approaching from my forward starboard quadrant. They both passed behind me and on the port side. I rolled out approximately westerly heading. I planned the run out heading was about 250 degrees back to a checkpoint just north of the whole bin. In route out of the target area, I first noticed heavy automatic weapons and AAA fire. My BN informed me after the hop that on the way in there was quite a heavy concentration of barrage type fire. 37, 57, 85 airbursts and heavy automatic weapons fire. I had not noticed it up to this time. On the way out, though, I did observe heavy automatic weapons tracer fire and a few airbursts. And I did have to jink a little bit to get around some of the heavier concentrations. Shortly after this, the Ginkgo 1 called and asked how we were doing, and we replied, "We're still there," and they gave us an attaboy. And we continued on out of the area by jinking back and forth, trying to break APR 27 locks. After release and the initial break away from the two SAMs that forced me to release early, did not observe any more SAMs launched or any of them in my area. As we approached the mountainous terrain again, heading west from the target area, the ECM indications started to decrease. The APR-27 became intermittent and finally went off. We continued outbound, heading 250. This time we were flying bed-wrecking navigation. Our inertial system had spit out its present position, and we did not have an inertial navigation capability at that time. We proceeded out on time until we thought we had reached our checkpoint approximately, and turned south to a 180 heading. As we hit the turn, Red Crown came up and called a MIG warning, and the MIG appeared to be approximately in our area and heading south. And we then turned to a westerly heading, and there were two more MIG calls made about a minute intervals by Red Crown. And the next two calls did not coincide at all with our heading as far as the bogey heading that they were calling. So I initially thought it could possibly have been us that they were calling as a bogey. But then I determined it couldn't have been us from the heading differential. But as we turned back, they again called, and it was just right where we were. So I turned on my IFF and got a readout from Red Crown. They confirmed they were tracking me as the bogey. At this time, I determined that there was no further threat, either MIGs or SAM or AAA, and commenced my climb to RTB altitude of flight level 350. We had burned considerably more fuel than had been planned during all the jinking and evasion the SAMs and the AAA, so I determined we'd have to divert into Udorn. We informed Ginkgo that we would be landing in Udorn, and contacted Lion GCA, Lion GCI for radar vectors into Udorn. When we get to Udorn, I observed closely the performance of the aircraft, engine instruments, etc., determined whether we had any serious battle damage. And the airplane flew normally, everything looked real good. We went into Udorn and made a visual approach to a landing, and touchdown time was 0130 hotel. After we landed at Udorn, we inspected the aircraft and found we had 10 holes scattered throughout the aircraft, and the angles that the fragments went in led us to believe that there were at least two or three separate bursts that caused the damage. We refueled and were debriefed by a unit at Udorn, and launched at about 3 o'clock again to land back here at Da Nang at 0400 for a 1 hour return flight. The return flight was uneventful, GCI to GCI, handoff to GCI.